is a fan favorite game that never made it to the West finally coming out here legally. Plus, a new challenger arises in the mobile virtual reality market. Tonight is February 7th, 2016, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one, Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And What Up G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Where is everybody? It's just another Sunday night. Where is everybody? Hello, everybody. And welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming history. And I promise you, we have no puppy monkey babies here. I promise you. There is none of that here. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at vognetwork.com, you can come join us. I know that there's not a lot of people tonight. I don't know what's going on. Everybody's mesmerized by a puppy monkey baby. Live.vognetwork.com is where you can go, and I will try to read intelligent comments from chat. You actually have a good chance of being read tonight because there's not that much going on for whatever reason. It's just a regular Sunday night. And if you're logged into the site, you can check in just like Fifth Dream. And, now I refresh another people. Just like Fifth Dream and Master of the Claw. For the longest time, Fifth Dream was the only person checked in, like, throughout the entire intro. You can check in, get some points. You can listen for a passphrase somewhere in the episode and get the same amount of points if you are listening on the podcast. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up my Skype line and toll-free number for you to call in. Bobby Blackwell Show is on Skype. All one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can contact me by leaving a comment on the episode over at vognetwork.com. Yes, Fifth Dream all the way. That's right. So obviously, tonight, listen, if you're listening live, this is actually a historic first episode of doing this during the Superb Owl. I usually do not do a live show during the Superb Owl, and I actually did have to tear myself away from the screen, the TV, after the first quarter to prepare for this. And somebody say something on Twitter to me about this, about how I use the terms Superb Owl and sports ball, and they link to the great KXCD comic that is, you know, let people have their fun, and, you know, it's not as cute as you think. The reason I'm using the term Superb Owl is because the NFL does have a history of going after people in commercial ventures or semi-commercial or something that seems like a commercial venture using their trademarked name of the game. You actually can't do that. So that is why I say Superb Owl, because the NFL can't theoretically, even though I don't think the NFL even knows who I am, even though I work for a team and get checks from them. But I don't think I'd be allowed. I don't think they'd ever come after me. But just in case. And Dark Ted C says that's why you usually hear the big game in certain ads. That's correct, because they can't say the name of the game, because that is a trademark phrase, and the NFL protects their trademarks furiously. So I'm not doing it just to be cute. I'm also doing it to cover my behind, because I actually do like football. I do like American football. And I don't like one of the teams that's there tonight, and I hope the other team wins. Go team. Go ahead and there was not that much news this week that I can talk about. One thing I did, and I just thought of this, and I didn't even put it in the show roll, but I'm going to remind myself to put this in the show notes. If you're a musician, okay, and I'm talking like a musician in school, like a classically trained musician, which means you're in band in school, or an orchestra in school, one of those type of musicians. Although, you know, if you're a rock musician, you might be able to figure out how to get into this. Video Games Live and Tommy Tallarico are doing something with an international digital festival in Dublin this year, where what they're going to be doing is they want to have musicians record themselves playing their part of the Halo Trilogy suite that Video Games Live currently tours with. And it's one of those where, you know, they send you the score. They send you the piece with the click track. And you go and record your part. And I am taking part in this because I am a classically trained percussionist. I do more, you know, orchestral percussion and field percussion than I do rock percussion, even though I do own a drum set. But if you are a musician that plays in, you know, a band or an orchestra, and you feel like you want to actually be a part of this, and they're going to montage it all together, and they've already done this for a piece for World of Warcraft, I believe. Then I will put the link in the show notes. There's like a Blogspot link that you can sign up, and you get the part. And then you get like these click tracks, and it actually has like little audio cues and stuff, just like what they use on stage if you see a video games live concert on stage. And you can be a part of the video and stuff. I am actively trying to – I have a lot of friends who are band directors at high schools in the area and some that are band directors at colleges in the area. And I am actively trying to say, hey, can I borrow your timpani for an evening and, you know, set up a camera and record some stuff? Because there's a badass timpani part in that Halo Trilogy suite, I just got to say. I know, music nerd, sorry. Speaking of music, 10 days to MAGFest. SJ Hunter and Matt wants to remind us. But yeah, so if you're into the, if you're a musician and you want to be a part of that, you have until March 15th to send in your video, and then they're going to put them together. I think in April is when they release the video, and hopefully they'll put it on YouTube and stuff. So I'm going to be doing it. But if you play any kind of orchestral or band instrument, you know, it can be, you know, trumpet, trombone, violin, cello, any of those. There's most likely a part for you, and you can record yourself playing it. And they're trying to do like a global orchestra of the Halo piece. And MAGFest, 10 days to MAGFest. Yes, SJ100 Matt reminds us that MAGFest, Music and Games Festival, speaking of music and games, it is 10 days away. I am going to be there. Rob from Orange Lounge Radio is going to be there. Matt, SJ100 Matt's going to be there. That's who everybody really wants to meet, obviously. And it is just south of D.C. In Maryland. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be there. We're not there in any official capacity. We're not doing any panels, but I do have a camcorder, a new camcorder that I'm going to like try to like do some stuff with while I'm there, taking videos of things, basically. And Kaijudo asks, what is that, a flashlight convention? I'm sure that there are going to be people with apps that have flashlights on them there because they're nerds, and that's what it is. So if you're check our Twitters, we'll say something. We don't really have kind of any official plans for VOG. We're just there to have fun. This is kind of our big gaming convention that we're doing. We're not doing any PAX conventions this year. We did PAX East last year. The MAGFest is pretty much our big one. Obviously, we're going to be at Dragon Con, and Southern Fried Game Room Expo just emailed me this week. And if you're into that stuff, they're expanding. It's mainly arcade and pinball for that. But Southern Fried Game Room Expo here in Atlanta, June 10th through 12th. I'm pushing it because we're going to be sponsoring it, so get used to this. But they announced that their main guest this year, and I don't even know if Rob knows this yet, but the main guest there, his name is Guest. It's Lance Guest. And if you don't know who Lance Guest is, it's probably because you just didn't watch the credits of a very iconic gaming 80s movie. Lance Guest played Alex in The Last Starfighter, as in he is the boy that got recruited to defeat the Armada because he played an arcade game in a trailer park. So Lance Guest is going to be the featured guest of Southern Fried Game Room Expo this year here in Atlanta in June. So if you want to meet him, he's also done like a lot of other things in the TV realm, but he's going to be there. That's the main guest, Lance Guest. He defeated Xur and defended the Star League. That's right. So he is going to be there. So if you're in the area, go ahead and make plans now. I know it's like, see, here's the thing. June 10th through 12th, that's like right after the not relevant anymore E3. It's like that weekend after, so you can get some video gaming stuff going on that week. See you guys in 10 days at MAGFest. It's already going to be 10 days. How's the snow situation? I guess I can actually now look and see what the weather's going to be like. I just don't want snow on the roads because I'm driving up there. And I'm from Atlanta, and I don't know how to drive in snow, as obvious. So it scares me. Anyway, there were some news stories that I actually want to talk about a little bit. It's a light week. It's been a light week for a while. Everything's kind of ramping up to, you know, your GDC and stuff that's going to be going on later. Plus, you know, everybody's been talking about the football game that's going on tonight right now. But there may be a game. There has been a fan campaign for like 500 years and many petitions and many things on the web to bring a certain game out in America that has never been out in America. And really, to make Nintendo realize that they have a franchise that people like. Because sometimes Nintendo doesn't realize that. And that franchise is the Mother series, or Earthbound, or the game that is better than Super Metroid. Eurogamer reports that Mother 3, the third game in Nintendo's role-playing Earthbound series, will finally launch in the West this year. This is according to a couple sources close to Nintendo who have shared the word via Twitter and Reddit. So it obviously must be true. It's on Reddit. It can't get upvoted on Reddit unless it's true. Why are you laughing? Separately, Eurogamer has heard the same thing. The writer here was told that the release is finally happening via the Wii U Virtual Console to celebrate Mother 3's 10th anniversary of release in Japan. The continued exposure of Mother and Earthbound in the West via Super Smash Bros. Has also dramatically helped the franchise gain notability here. Nintendo tipster Emily Rogers wrote, quote, "Don't be surprised if Nintendo celebrates a game's 10th anniversary this year," unquote, before posting a picture of the Mother character, Kumatora. Her account has since been deleted, which means it's true. Another source confirmed Mother 3 was in the final stages of localization at Nintendo of Europe a little while back. The upcoming release of Mother 3 is still a surprise after so long. The only translation available to date has been put together by fans, they took the Game Boy Advance ROM and they released a patch for the ROM because they can't distribute the ROM. But if you find the ROM, you can patch in the translation and play it that way. Nintendo will likely be looking to the otherwise quiet 2015 Wii U release schedule and responding to the positive sales and of critical response to the Mother 2 Virtual Console release. That's right, I bought Earthbound, and I bought Earthbound Zero. I am not the problem here. Dark Tatia said, "I heard it was just the one tweet that was deleted. Her whole account disappearing is new to me. I only heard that her account was protected." So that may be what they meant, is that she protected her account. SJ1RMS, Matt asks, "Was the source from NeoGAF? Because the only the real rumors come from there. NeoGAF is like the center of the gaming universe. And you can't get into it. If you're not on NeoGAF yet and you don't have an account on NeoGAF right now, you're screwed. It's over for you. Thankfully, I have an account there and it's not banned yet. They don't know who I am. Just like the NFL doesn't know who I am. So, but no, this is going to be great. I think, you know, there's been the Starman.net fan site has been going on for years, probably 10 years since the game came out on the Game Boy Advance. I think it was actually started making it on the Nintendo 64, I want to say, or they had a Mother 64. But then, you know, they took that story and put it on the Game Boy Advance because the Nintendo 64 kind of stopped existing. And then we had the GameCube. But they made it for the Game Boy Advance and then just never released it in the West because I guess they didn't think we'd like it. I don't know. Dark Tetsuya says, "But we know who you are," talking about me, and that's the most important thing. Aw. And Dark Tetsuya does say, "The original Mother 3 was going to be a 64DD game for that disk drive add-on they were planning." That's correct. And they've actually, Unseen 64, which does a lot of... I don't know if it's them or somebody else that does a lot of, finds all the prototypes and puts them on YouTube, showed a little bit of it. And it was looking pretty neat, but, obviously with Mother and, you know, most RPGs, it's more about the story. And that's what they did with the Game Boy Advance is just apparently very beloved. I am looking forward to actually playing it because it will be nice to finally play it and not just hear about it and not just see the... other people talk about it and stuff. It'll be nice. And I will buy it. I will be that consumer whore and buy it on day one, just like I did for Earthbound, just like I did for Earthbound Zero. So if you think I'm the problem, I am. I am totally the problem. Dungeon Buster said that the 64DD, which Fifth Dream says is a very large woman, did come out. It just sold like garbage in Japan, which killed any hope for it to come west. And that probably killed Earthbound 64, because if nobody bought it when it came out, then... And I think like F-Zero was a 64DD game as well, because there were extra tracks that were in it that were only on the disc. Dungeon Buster's going to correct me in like 30 seconds. And I'll have already moved on, and then I won't read it. And then people will be listening on the podcast saying, no, you're wrong. Do register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com. Use the passphrase, calendar. So, speaking of moving on, before I get corrected, moving on to another story that I kind of read today about more people getting into the virtual reality market, because I think everybody wants to get into it, because now we're all seeing that all the high-end devices are very expensive. And so we need devices that are cheaper, and one company that provides a cheap device wants to sell a more expensive device. And that's Google. The Financial Times reports that Google is developing a new virtual reality headset for smartphones and adding extra support for the technology to its Android operating system as it challenges Facebook's Oculus for an early lead in Silicon Valley's latest platform war. The new headset will be a successor to Cardboard, the cheap and cheerful mobile VR viewer that Google launched in 2014, and feature better sensors, lenses, and a more solid plastic casing, said people familiar with the plans. The smartphone-based device will be similar to the Gear VR, a collaboration between Samsung and Oculus that went on sales to consumers late last year. So what basically Google is doing is they're saying, yeah, we had Samsung and we had Oculus and we had John Carmack at Oculus say, I'm trying to get this to work. Hey, can you help me with this in the Android operating system? And Google's probably pushing back. It's like, no. We can't expose parts of the Android operating system for that. No. That's not what we're about. And so John Carmack had to become John Carmack and actually work around all the limitations that Google has placed on him in the Android operating system. And that's why they worked directly with Samsung, because Samsung could kind of do a little more circumventing of the operating system and give more direct access to the hardware, because Google wasn't willing to do that. They weren't willing to give more direct access to hardware. And now they're like, hey, you know, maybe John Carmack had the right thing. Maybe we should do it ourselves. Google is expected to release its rival headset alongside new Android VR technology this year. Like Cardboard and Gear VR, the new headset will use an existing smartphone slotted into the device for its display and most of its processing power. Google Cardboard relies solely on sensors built into modern smartphones to detect the position of a user's head, while Gear VR is more sturdily built and features more extra motion sensors. The updated Google headset will be compatible with a much broader range of Android devices than Gear VR, which only works with a handful of recent Samsung Galaxy smartphone models, as the Alphabet unit tries to bring the technology to a wider audience. And by the way, Alphabet is the company that like now owns Google, like is the parent company of Google. So when they talk about Alphabet, that's what they mean. It's basically, I think, like Google had to be broken up or something, and so Alphabet owns, I don't get it, but that's their new name, I guess. Google is hoping to improve the quality of the mobile VR viewing experience by embedding new software directly into its Android smartphone operating system, the one thing they wouldn't let John Carmack do, rather than relying only on a traditional app as it goes with Cardboard today. One issue with many current smartphone-based VR viewers is that users can feel dizzy or nauseous. This is because the virtual images displayed can lag slightly behind the viewer's head movements in the real world, known as latency. Yes, and that is what John Carmack spent years trying to fix. And Google was like, no, we can't. We can't do this. We can't give you direct access, even though that would solve all the problems. And that's because Google's going to give their own engineers direct access and not John Carmack. Dungeon Buster says, Carmack looked at the problem and was all, oh, just another problem to solve. That's all it is. Having shipped more than 5 million units to date, Cardboard has been far more successful than Google expected when it launched the low-cost goggles in 2014. By improving resolution and latency, the combination of better Android software and the new headset will allow viewers to spend longer in VR and enable developers to create more sophisticated apps. Google declined to comment on the updated headset, but Sundar Pichai, I guess, I don't know how to pronounce it. I apologize. Google's chief executive said last week that Cardboard was just the first step in its VR efforts. He said, quote, beyond these early efforts, you'll see a lot more from us and our partners in 2016, unquote. This is what he said on an earnings call for Google's parent company, Alphabet. Google's efforts in VR have expanded over the past year. Clay Baver, who previously led both Google's apps and VR units, became full-time head of Cardboard and related products just last month. He told Time magazine last month, quote, VR is too important and too powerful a medium to be accessible to only a few, unquote. And he says that a creation of a mobile VR headset that works with more than just Oculus software and Samsung phones will mark the opening of a new front in Google's wide-ranging rivalry with Facebook. It wasn't Facebook and Oculus that stopped non-Samsung phones from being able to use the stuff. It was you guys. You guys closed the door on them, and now you're like, oh, well, they suck because they only work with one set of phones. You force them to only work with one set of phones because you wouldn't work with them. But whatever. Google is likely to take a similar approach to its latest push into VR as it has with its Nexus line of smartphones, creating flagship hardware to show off the latest Android capabilities, but letting other manufacturers use them to develop their own compatible products. Google typically previews new Android features at its I.O. developer conference in May before launching its latest Nexus device in September, with the VR headset likely to follow that timetable. Cardboard uses an open-source design that any manufacturer can produce and sell, using the Works with Google Cardboard badge to reassure customers that the apps will be compatible. Some industry analysts predict that mobile VR will achieve mainstream appeal more quickly, and this is true, than the more sophisticated but expensive Oculus Rift or Sony PlayStation VR. This article conveniently forgets the HTC Vive, but okay. These headsets, initially targeted at gamers, cost hundreds of dollars and must be tethered to a PC or game console. As well as near-term bets on mobile VR, Google is also a significant investor in the more long-term and ambitious concept of mixed reality, or augmented reality is what we call it in the real world. Last week, it was a part of a large group of investors that put nearly $800 million into Magic Leap, a Florida-based startup working on a headset that uses light field technology to project realistic images directly onto the eye. Yes. So Google, after, you know, making sure that Oculus couldn't do the right thing, they're going to come in and do the right thing and say, hey, we see we could do it, and Oculus couldn't. Very good, Google. But there is a point in here, is that, you know, a lot of people already believe that, you know, because when I remember when the price of the Oculus Rift was announced, and it was we finally saw it, and it was $600, and it was more than everybody expected. And everybody's like, no, that's stupid. You can get the exact same experience with, a $12 piece of cardboard. And I'm like, no, you can't. And Google knows you can't get the exact same experience. But because the phone is already powerful and the phone already has a lot of the technology that they have to add to make an Oculus Rift or a Vive or a PlayStation VR work, then they can actually sell the VR apparatus for a lot cheaper. And so it's going to be the way that the more mainstream get into virtual reality. It's not with the Rift. It's not with the Vive. It's not with the PlayStation VR. It's going to be with the Gear VR, which is if you have a Samsung phone, which you can get subsidized by your phone carrier, depending on the phone carrier you have, you can get this Gear VR for just $100. Whereas if you already had a PC that could run the Oculus Rift, you have to pay $600. But because the phone already has the display apparatus in it, that's why they can sell the VR headsets for cheaper. Now, it's not going to be as fully, you're not going to be able to do as much in the 3D aspect, in the, you know, actual generated images aspect on the phone, but for videos, it's perfect. And as the technology in the phones get better, we're going to finally, then that may catch up a little bit. It will never still not compare to the high-end rigs and stuff that are going to be powering the Oculus Rift, the HTC Vive, and the PlayStation VR. It's not going to compare to those directly, but it's going to be a very good first step while we wait for that the technology that's in those devices to be able to be cheaper and come in for the masses. That's kind of the news that I saw this week about the VR space. We're obviously still in the holding pattern, waiting for waiting for the consumer version of the Rifts to come out, waiting for the price of the HTC Vive, which pre-orders are going to begin on the HTC Vive on February 29th. They have not announced the price yet, which tells me that the HTC Vive is not going to be cheaper than the Oculus Rift. Because if the HTC Vive was going to be cheaper than $600, they would have announced that a month ago. They would have announced it that day during CES when the Oculus Rift pre-orders went on sale. They would have said, oh, wait, by the way, guys, we're going to be $500 instead of $600. You should buy our thing. Don't count on it being cheaper. But the mobile devices and the mobile VR, very good alternative right now, especially if your main thing is you want to watch videos or movies or something like that. Amazing. Amazing devices for that. And on the AR front, HoloLens, the request for developer kits went out. People submitted their request for development kits. They were supposed to get an answer in January. Microsoft said, yeah, we haven't made our decisions yet. It'll be February. And here we are, you know, 1 week into February, and nobody's gotten a response on if they're going to get a $3,000 development kit for the Microsoft HoloLens, which is not going to be the final. I don't think that's going to be anywhere near the final cost of the HoloLens, but the developer kits, which I think it's that high to prevent hobbyists from getting it. Plus, you have to apply and, you know, get selected by Microsoft that you're going to do something that they're going to want to do. People have to wait a little bit longer to get their hands on a HoloLens. Fluke says, another problem with mobile VR is the lack of positional tracking. They only have rotational tracking so far. Once you've used a system with positional tracking, like the DevKit 2 from Oculus Rift, then mobile VR sucks. That is actually why, that's one of the reasons I actually say that mobile VR is great for videos, because you can't really use positional tracking for either 360-degree video or, you know, you can more in, like, if you're watching, like, a 3D movie in a generated theater, then I can see, yeah, you know, the positional tracking would be helpful there. But for 360 video, you can't really use the positional tracking all that much. So, I mean, I agree. It's not, and that's kind of why I was saying people who were like, you can get the exact same experience as the Oculus Rift with this Google Cardboard thing for $12. And I'm like, no, you can't. You really can't. I still got to buy a computer that can run this stuff. We're going to take a quick music break. It is not a halftime show. It's not halftime caliber show. So you're not missing anything when I don't include it on the podcast. Besides, I watched the Puppy Bowl and the Kitten Bowl already today. And the halftime show for the Puppy Bowl was just about as weird as the commercials during the football game, during the Superb Owl, which I'm calling it so I do not get sued by the NFL for using the trademark term. But the Puppy Bowl halftime show was almost as weird as these commercials that have been airing. Because, you know, all these commercials, when they went into the pitch meeting, they're like, oh, and the best thing about this commercial is it doesn't make sense. It was automatically approved by all the ad agencies. Anyway, we're going to take a quick music break. It's going to make sense, but you're not going to hear it on the podcast anyway. And then we will hopefully take some calls. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
Hey, this is Breakman, and you're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show live on VogNetwork.com. Teabag. Not included.
Puppy Monkey Baby, more or less annoying than that song that I just played, that in the Breakman bumper. I don't know. Vote on Twitter. I don't know. If you want to leave a bumper, I will most likely not put an annoying song behind it. But all you have to do is leave a voicemail with your bumper to the toll-free number, or leave an MP3 with just your voice on it to bumpers at BobbyBlackwolf.com. And I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines and the Skype line and the toll-free number. You can now call in Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word, on Skype or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can talk about anything going on in gaming right now, what you're playing, what you're excited about. You can tell there's a Steam sale going on, by the way. It's like the Lunar New Year sale. So I finally picked up City Skylines. I have not played it yet, but I finally picked up City Skylines and downloaded it and installed it and stuff, and I just haven't played it yet. And I did get the expansion. There's one expansion out now, and then there's like another expansion coming out next week, I think. City Skylines basically is SimCity done right, by all accounts. And I've been wanting it for a while, and then I finally was like, okay, it's been on sale again, and I'm going to get it this time, and I'm going to try it out. And there's a whole modding community and stuff for it that make it even better using Steam Workshop. So we're gonna try it out. I'm going to see if I can even play it with the Steam controller, and then I can play it on my TV. But I don't know. I don't know. This may not be a game that I want to play on my TV. I may need to be able to see the stuff. But yeah, so Cities Skylines, like the first expansion adds like a nighttime mode. So there's like day and night cycles. And, you know, it adds like leisure activities, which could include, you know, red light districts and stuff. And then apparently the new expansion adds weather. Like it adds seasons. So like in winter time, you can... It's different because there's snow on the ground, so I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. So we do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, yo, Bobby. This is Zeno from the OKC.
Zeno, what's up, man?
Not much. I heard something about drums, so I immediately had to pay attention.
Uh-huh.
Me being former band geek and all that.
Yes.
Yeah, man. Timpanis are...
Don't curse on my show.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting. I'm not at work right now, sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, just been jumping back into MechWarrior Online for some reason.
So is that, wow, that's still on?
I don't know, for some reason it just came over me, and I've just been playing it nonstop for about a week now for some reason.
Is there anything new in it, or is it just what everybody's used to?
Well, for a while, I guess it started around near the end of the year, like around August or so. I guess Harmony Gold finally cleared up all their stuff. Mm-hmm. So they're doing redesigned versions of the banned mechs from BattleTech now that you can now purchase.
Okay.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of neat. So all the stuff that looked, the Warhammer and the the Mac 2C and everything else that was in Macris has now been redesigned and is used in the game. So the Warhammer, the Stinger, and a whole bunch of other mechs have been redesigned for use, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I was going through some old stuff, and I actually found from the 90s one of my the Virtual Worlds like pamphlets and my score sheet, because that was BattleTech.
Mm-hmm.
But at the Dave and Buster's, where they actually had the pods, which are now like the mech core and stuff like that. But back in the 90s, in like the original pamphlet about, you know, being in the world of BattleTech, and my score sheet where I did terrible.
Oh, yeah. I was always jealous of you guys that got a chance to go to the BattleTech Center. I wanted to go there since it's all outdated technology now, so.
It is and it isn't. Because, like, the guys that got it now, like, because at Dragon Con every year, MechCore, which is actually based out in Texas, they bring, like, 16 pods. And they've, like, upgraded. The software's been upgraded, for one thing. Now, I mean, granted, the software was upgraded in, like, 2005, but it's not the 90s software anymore. And it was actually the developers that worked on Mech Assault for the Xbox.
Those are the guys you'd want doing it, yeah.
Yeah, they actually did the upgrade, and then they've got, like, new monitors in there that work, and they've, you know, redone a lot of the stuff inside. So they've actually cleaned it up a lot. So, but it's all, like, fans that bought all the inventory after Dave & Buster's decided they didn't want any games that needed an attendant.
Yeah. That also brought up another thing that I came across recently as well. With the whole resurgence of former console games coming to PC, such as a la Dragon's Dogma being released on Steam, I'm surprised that Sega and some of the others haven't released their arcade games, such as like a Wing Commander, or no, was it Afterburner Climax? That's the one.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, that needs to be released, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been dying to play that on a decent machine. I mean, I bought it for my PS3 or my PS Fat, and all of a sudden that thing took a crap. So now I have to worry about trying to repair it and or leave it and just go up my PC like I have been lately.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that game trend keeps going up, because I could really use some of my PS3 games on my PC.
And I think, like, a lot of companies are now seeing there's more money just remaking your old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Than there is actually making new stuff.
Yeah, especially for the platforms they weren't on before. So it's not like you're
right.
Yeah, you can still make a legitimate. What's the word? Yeah. It's still a legitimate purchase for this much because it's been ported this time.
Right.
Man. But yeah, lots of nostalgia. Mm-hmm. I don't know when it's going to stop, but hopefully, it just keeps going for quality projects.
Yeah, I mean, I like the nostalgia, and I like seeing, like, you know, especially because, like, the first part of my show was talking about Mother 3 finally coming out, which is a Game Boy Advance game. But, you know, what worries me a little bit is, you know, seeing, like, Square Enix recently came out and said, you know what? We're not going to do new IPs anymore. We're going to concentrate on Final Fantasy VII, and we're going to concentrate on remaking Dragon Quest and you know, our old stuff. Because that's apparently what the fans want. And that kind of scares me, because I also like new IPs.
Yeah, well, they're not wrong, unfortunately.
I know.
People have been asking for Final Fantasy-related stuff forever, ever.
But like, I mean, they made Bravely Default, which is like a new, you know, a today version of Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess people didn't get it, and people didn't like it. So they're like, no, we're not going to do that type of stuff anymore.
Probably because it was on mobile. That's not where granted, they're making money on mobile, but that's mm-hmm. not where the biggest crowd is.
Yeah, it was a 3DS game, was Bravely Default, at least. Maybe it was a mobile version, too.
Yeah.
But a lot of people want that nostalgia. And I'm like, soon we're not going to have any new games anymore. Because everybody's going to be like, oh, we're just going to... Kind of like how there's no such thing as a new movie anymore. It's mm-hmm. all remakes.
True,
I'm afraid
true.
That's where we're going in games now. And it makes me sad.
Yeah, well, at least they won't be doing that with Deadpool, because the initial reviews are saying, yes, it's a quality movie, guys. If you're a comic book nerd, you will not be disappointed.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm already ready. I'm already actually lined up at the movie theater for Deadpool. I'm just doing the show from the line right now.
I got you. Yeah, that's high-quality stuff, Bobby. That's we know you can do it.
And I've already convinced my girlfriend that it's a romantic movie, a Ryan Reynolds romantic movie.
You pulled that one, you sly dog.
So, yeah, it's a date movie. We're going on Valentine's Day for that.
Yeah, it's a dude showing his commitment to his girlfriend about what he will do to make sure that they come out on top.
That's right.
It's a very touching movie.
It is.
Yeah, number one at Cannes.
Mm-hmm. So, cool. Well, I appreciate you calling in. Anything else on your mind?
No, that's pretty much it, man. You have an excellent show, Bobby.
All right. Thank you.
I like it.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Fifth Dream says, Deadpool is the only Marvel movie I will try my best to avoid seeing. What? Is it because you can't handle an R-rated movie, Fifth Dream? Is that why? Kaijudo says, Developers have to understand that most gamers don't know what they want. That's actually true of anybody. Fifth Dream says he does not like Deadpool at all. You do not know if you like Deadpool or not, Fifth Dream. You do not know what you want. Kaijudo has just said this. You do want Deadpool. But yeah, I mean, most customers don't even know what they want. They know what they think they want. But then, and I mean, I've seen this, like, as a developer outside of gaming. Even our clients, who we are building the app for, don't know what they want. We do have another call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up? This is Kaijudo.
Kaijudo, I was just reading your comment. You are right.
had to turn down the Superb Bowl so you don't get in trouble.
That's fine. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you guys are talking about nostalgia and mm-hmm. how gamers want nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And I just have to tell you that it's gotten even worse. I just saw a video about 2 weeks ago because I got reinterested in the Pokemon again.
Uh-huh.
Because they're doing a thing for the 20th anniversary
right.
where they're giving out a legend, not a legendary, I forgot what they call them, but those Pokemon, those event Pokemon.
Right.
They're giving one out like each month they're going to give out a event Pokemon. So I got reinterested in it. I went to this guy's channel and it was almost like he witnessed the second coming. He was so excited that Pokemon Blue, Red, and Yellow is coming to the eShop and he can now play those very old Pokemon game on his 3DS.
Yeah.
It was like the best thing ever. For, you know, forget about anything else that's coming out for the 3DS, anything new. He was literally losing his mind because these three old Pokemon game are going to be on his 3DS, which
right.
he probably has already.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just like very excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, and it just turned me off, man. I couldn't believe it.
Well, I mean, and a lot of people are like that with Virtual Console. I mean, then again, you got to realize the first story I read tonight was about a Game Boy Advance game possibly coming to the Virtual Console. But then again, in my case, in my defense, this is a game that has never been released in America.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah,
and they're actually going to be localizing it and translating it and then putting it on the virtual console. So that's a little better.
Yeah, it is.
But I own the Super Nintendo version of Earthbound. I still own the Super Nintendo version of Earthbound. It still works fine. And I was excited that it was on the Wii U, the virtual console, and I bought it that day. So maybe I am the problem.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I've given up on that. Like, ever since I got burned by the Xbox 360, when I collected a bunch of Xbox games, and I thought Xbox was so great, and Xbox Live was so innovative, and I got all of these Xbox games, and then I decided to try to, like, soft mod my original Xbox. Mm-hmm. And after a while, just after, like, years of wear and tear, it just got really bad, and I couldn't do anything about it. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to get 360, and I'll be able to play those games, and there was no backwards compatibility. And the backwards compatibility that they did have, none of my games worked, and I was just like, I get this now. I can't live in the past. Mm-hmm. I got to move forward.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But yeah, just, I don't know. I think gaming is going in the wrong direction. I mean, it's not just that. I mean, you have tons of other developers just like completely changing their game from what it was supposed to be just based on some really bad reviews. Like, I just went through a really bad experience with them. There's a game called, I think it's called Skyshine's Bedlam or Starshine. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's like almost like a Mad Max type of roguelike game. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard, really difficult. And they got a lot of complaints. And, I mean, they literally gutted the game. They, like, removed content from the game to please these people that if you read the reviews and you look at the person's profile, a lot of these people that were bashing the game, they only played the game for like about 30 minutes. The people that loved the game had like 9 hours plus on the game, but they chose to listen to the critics. And I'm like, they haven't even played your game. Like, you know, they don't know what it's about.
Right.
You know, I tried to explain that to them in the forums, but they went their own direction. So I said, okay, I can't support you guys anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just...
Yeah, and it's a fine line, and a lot of people, like especially the smaller studios and stuff, they probably have never gotten that type of criticism before, and they're like, oh, there are paying customers. And, you know, we get ingrained, the customer is always right, even though they're not.
Right.
But we hear that over and over again, and they feel like if you've got your vocal minority and, you know, you live and die by this stuff, you know, sometimes they may say, okay, we'll piss off the two or three hardcore gamers that love our game, but hopefully gain these 10 trolls.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a financial decision, and it sucks. I mean, I think developers should stick by their guns. Like, I didn't think the Mass Effect 3 ending should have been changed.
Yeah, I agree.
Then again, I've never played Mass Effect 3. I'm just on the sidelines watching all the drama unfold with my popcorn. But I was rooting for the developers in that case. But no, I love the new IPs and the new ideas and stuff, and I am sad that they're going away because gamers don't want new stuff.
Yep, they just want the old stuff, and they have. And anytime something new comes along, they don't want to take the chance out to like learn the system. It's like it has to be something that they understand right away. And if it God forbid, if it looks similar to something else, they'll say it's like a ripoff of that. Because the same thing happened with this game I was talking about. Because the game had a cover system, and it was turn based. They kept saying that the game was XCOM. It was like a really bad XCOM ripoff. I'm like, you know, there were other turn-based games before XCOM. Right. It's like they didn't they didn't invent the genre.
But it's kind of funny because it's like, you know, okay, let's take a Nintendo series, Animal Crossing, right? Animal Crossing, it's been pretty much the same every time they remake it on a new system. It's the same game. And everybody's like, come on, do something new with Animal Crossing. Do something different with Animal Crossing. So then they come out with Happy Home Designer or they come out with Amiibo Party. And everybody's like, whoa, 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 what are you doing? That's not Animal Crossing. Where's the Animal Crossing I know and love? And we're like, you wanted them to do something different, and they did, and now you're mad at them for doing something different.
Right. Yeah, it's looking pretty bad. But I'm also optimistic, so I'm hoping that because of this, you know, there's always like a counter to like any type of trend. At some point it's going to start to like flip back, and there's going to be developers that are not going to want to do that anymore, and I think that's when we're going to get the swing back and get some innovation again.
And an anonymous person in our chat room says gamers for the most part do want new stuff, It's just that new stuff is mostly terrible, and people turn to the old stuff, and then the developers use that as a reason to go back. They need to make a better effort.
No, I mean, I'm gonna hang up because I know you got other calls to get to, but I just have to make this point.
Okay.
Because I think that anonymous person is completely wrong. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I see all the time on the Steam forums is you always have critics say something is OP, which means overpowered,
right,
or a game is imbalanced, and I'm like, there is no you can't convince me that every single one of these games have OP and imbalance. I think a lot of these people don't really know the system. They haven't really taken the time out to learn the system, and they're complaining that it's OP and imbalanced. But I'm like, these developers have taken like 5 years of testing the game. Like, I trust the developer a little more than I trust the person playing. You know, I just think that, you know, a lot of it is just people suck at games. You know, you just got to get better at the game. I totally don't believe that, you know, you just have developers making really bad games and that's the problem. Yeah. There's no way. But I'll let you go.
All right.
And a great show, and I'll keep listening off
right.
the air.
Thank you.
All right, later. All right.
So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much longer than I do. And they are also here. The main reason they are here is because the Lady Gaga concert is already over. So, Sacramento, are you guys there?
I missed it. I'm so upset. Thank you. Thank you for YouTube piracy, though. I got to see it after the fact.
Yes, it was. I saw a little bit of it.
Yeah,
it was great.
As haters step to the side.
That's right.
She did great.
Yes,
she does. She does her best when she sticks to the classic stuff. Like, she killed it at the Oscars too.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you will about her dancing music, but she's got a set of pipes.
Yeah. So. So what do you? So you guys think that it's bad that people are, or the developers are going back to the old stuff more than making new stuff?
I'm
trying to tie this in here.
Not necessarily. I mean, it kind of depends. I understand the whole like longing for a game the way it used to be because, you know, we talked about that when it came to like Dance Dance Revolution for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. We wanted Konami to stop doing a lot of these weird things that they were starting to do with the franchise. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us wanted to see it go back to its roots. I think especially when the Kinect games started coming out, it was like, no, these are not the same. Why are you releasing this when you could be releasing Para Para? But to be fair, I mean, the game they did put out on Kinect was bad. Well, the first one was bad, but the second one was actually really good. The one nobody bought was really good. But I digress. I think a good mix is a healthy thing, and it's so easy now for people to be able to make a game. I think the indie scene has a lot of the throwback stuff covered, but it's not to say that the indie scene doesn't come up with some fantastic new ideas that outshine what AAA people can do. And you look to success stories like Minecraft, like Five Nights, like Undertale, and you know all these indie darlings, so to speak, that have done a fantastic job. To tie the two together, Crypt of the Necrodancer took DDR in a new direction.
Yeah, indie darlings like It's Time to Car. Stuff
yeah.
like that.
One of these days. The 2019 release, It's Time to Car.
10 days, Rob. Keiji Inafune is coming to MAGFest.
I know. That's pretty exciting, but I'm going to admit, I was like, eh, cool. But usually when big celebs like that are mentioned, I'm like, well, it's not like I'm going to really meet them because they're going to be so swarmed with people.
Apparently, Uematsu did go to a previous MAGFest.
I did hear about that. And I am really excited about Maname Matsumeya, and I hope I'm saying her name right, but she did the music for Mega Man, which I think is a large reason many of us like Mega Man. She is also going, and I think that's important to point out because I'm going to be completely honest. I would really want to meet her almost more. Like, I just think the songs from Mega Man are so iconic. I would love to meet her.
And I don't know which Mega Man tribute acts are going to be there, but that would be. I don't know if Mega Ran's going or.
I'm sure. Oh, Mega Ran for sure is going. Yeah. He's got a thing Thursday night, which, and to get to the other thing I was going to say, is going to be, unfortunately for Mega Ran, which I love that guy, but unfortunately it's the same time as the Clue VCR game tournament. I can't say what I did in my pants because it's a family show, but I did that when I saw that was announced because I grew up with those VCR games.
Yes.
I watched that stupid little Clue VCR movie and The Murder in Disguise, but mostly the original. I only saw Murder in Disguise like years later, like once or twice. But The original, like, I would watch it, like, as a movie. So the fact that they're doing, like, a tribute tournament, and apparently somebody has made a documentary about this, and, like, I, mind blown. Like, I just, when I was reading about all this, I saw it on the schedule, I was like, what? So that was MAGFest hype beginning for me, for sure, over something so silly.
I have somewhere at my mom's house still VCR Clue, VCR Clue 2, and VCR California Games.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I had like Rich Little's Charades.
Yeah.
Like all these iconic 80s things.
And I think there was a VCR game called, like, I don't know if it was the Keymaster or Gatemaster or something, but basically it was a board game that you played, but you had a VCR tape going, and it was a 60-minute tape, and it was just the Keymaster.
Was that the guy that would taunt you going, maggot?
Yes. And then like he would say, this happens, you know, and everything has to happen. So you're basically trying to get through the entire game in 60 minutes, and the VCR game is throwing roadblocks at you.
Yes, I have heard of that game. I did not play it, but like my college roommate went on a hunt around different like stores trying to find that game, because we had this conversation about VCR games at one point, and he loved that game. And sadly, I can't remember the name of the
movie. How does one play VCR California Games?
So basically, I think it was like you would play it kind of as a board or card game, and then it would say, okay, press play on the tape, and then that next thing would be the result.
That's kind of how the Clue thing worked. Like, all the results were predetermined, but all the clues were like things that would happen in the thing. So it's like whoever was holding the poison in the study was killed in the ballroom. You know, that like they ask things that will make you recall what you saw in the little movie.
Right, yeah. And like there were multiple different games, and there were even like easy, medium, and hard versions. And they had like you had like the little red thing so you could see underneath the clue or whatever.
Yes, like that old school 70s password technology. Yes.
It was great. And yes, I watched the hell out of those just as a movie too.
Yeah,
both Clue 1 and Clue 2, and I still have them. I'm sure I think I know where they are.
That is awesome. Now the sad part is, and my buddy Jonko from Koopa Club pointed this out to me, the Clue VCR thing is also at the same time as Metroid Metal, and I was like, oh, that hurts.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to make a tough choice, but sadly, I'm gonna go with the Clue VCR game. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna be right there with you, dude.
I love Metroid Metal, but I have to be there. Like this. This is not something that happens every day.
Yes. I will be right there next to you.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
But yeah, like, well, I know like MAGFest rotates out performers because like I know Bit Brigade's not there this year because MAGFest is like they've been here before and, you know, we need have room for other acts, and then we'll rotate people in. But like I don't know if the Proto Man or the Megas are going to be there because they're kind of the two big Mega Man tribute acts.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, and they've probably already met the actual composers at this point.
Oh, I'm sure. And with the MAGFest brand really expanding, like they're doing much more than just MAGFest. I mean, I don't know what happened with the MAGWest because I see now it's Rockage 5.0. I don't know if it didn't. I don't know what's up there, but I know that there is a Rockage 5.0 happening, which was MAGFest inspired. So you know, there's that going on the West Coast, which is funny. It's only like 2 or 3 weeks after MAGFest. So I'm going to be very busy.
And Southern Fried Game Room Expo, which is not anything about MAGFest, it's got Lance Guest as their main dude.
That was the first time I heard that, actually, is when you were talking about that.
Yeah, so. Lance Guest, the Alex from Last Starfighter, is the main dude. So maybe I'll get him to do a bumper.
I'm gonna try. I really am gonna try to make that. I have to juggle my daytime commitments with all these cons I want to do, but hopefully it'll work out.
So, do we want to talk about something about next week?
I think we do. I think it's time to announce an announcement. Everybody loves it when we announce announcements, right?
Should we put a big countdown timer on the site?
Can you program that in the next 3 hours? Since we have such a small crowd here tonight, we'll tell you something a little extra special just because you guys are assembled here at our little chat. Next week, 7 days from now, at 6 o'clock, in between Bobby and ourselves here at OLR, we're going to be making some announcements at VOG. Mm-hmm. And this has to do with, usually we would talk about, hey, we're going to be adding a new show to the network. But that just didn't seem like it was good enough to necessitate a whole, you know, press. I mean, we love getting new shows on the network, but it just seemed like, do we want to do an announce of an announce if it's just one show? So But then I thought, well, we could do two shows. We could add two shows to the network and do that. But that still seems like you need a little something more. So we're going to be announcing three new shows. One, two, three new shows coming to VOG Network next week at 6 o'clock. And Kaichudo in chat says, why make your huge announcement on the night of the big game? That's why we're waiting, actually. That's so funny you ask. We were going to say something tonight, but then we thought, you know what, let's wait another week. But one, two, three new shows joining the Voice of Geeks Network in 7 days.
Yes. It's going to be great. I know what they are,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be great.
Yep.
I'm very excited.
Awesome. I will say this much. It's diverse. It's a diverse lineup. It's not all one particular category. It's going to be exciting.
I'm excited.
I think there's some in there where you will go. Oh yeah, saw that coming. But there's definitely going to be some surprises.
Yep. All right. So what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Oh, you know, the gaming news. I posted all on Twitter earlier because I said, oh, well, you know, we don't want to talk about balls tonight because we're going to have some other things to talk about in gaming. But that would include Bethesda going to be interrupting our show again with an E3 press conference. But this time they're not going to be first. That's going to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. A follow-up to something we talked about last week. Remember the whole fact that the Fine Brothers tried to trademark React? And we were talking a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. Well, some people reacted to that, and that caused a reaction from the Fine Brothers. So we'll be talking a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. And my Nintendo details.
Perfect. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network at VOGNetwork.com. Catch us live. Interact with the show directly. We will not be here in 2 weeks from tonight because Rob and I will be at MAGFest, probably still crying from happiness over the VCR Clue thing. I don't know. So you can catch us live and interact with the show directly, and we will be here next Sunday night. Feel free to leave a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper if you're using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1 or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. You can join the Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter at Bobby Blackwolf, even though Twitter is going to be changing the way Twitter works and they're not going to show you all the tweets. So you may not, even if you follow me on Twitter, you may not see what I say anymore because they're like, no, we're not going to do a timeline, a sequential timeline anymore. We're going to use an algorithm to determine if you should see this. And I know from the Facebook page, the reason I don't do much on the Facebook page is because it only shows it to 5% of you. Because Facebook at least tells me, oh yeah, I only showed this to 8 people, even though you have hundreds of people. You can also submit questions or comments on the episode pages of the show at VOGNetwork.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters who are still here tonight, even though there's stuff going on TV tonight. I thank you all. Thank you so much, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Ronma, Sky, VHJ6V, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc 978, Shadow Next Gen, Bacon Bits, Brad from Pod Culture, Bird, The Blue Guy, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Fluke, GK128, Hitstun, Immortal King, Jefferson Lee Ing, Kaijudo, Kazan, Lotus, Monster B, MXC, MXD, SJ100 Matt, and Tiger Claw. So a little bit less people here tonight, but that's great. It's fine. I had fun tonight. I am glad I spent this Sunday night with you guys. And I will spend next Sunday night with you guys as well. We're going to have some fun. See you next week. Bye. Don't run any puppy monkey babies.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.